You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is hour number two of the Roto Experts. Fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King Scott Engel. I am Greg Sussman, holding it down for the next couple hours with you. So, we're going to talk about the return to practice of Emmanuel Sanders. What do you guys think of him going forward? I know Scott and I may disagree a little bit on this, but I'm interested to hear where Corey lies. But another player that returned to practice yesterday in a limited fashion was your boy, Corey, Andre Ellington.
Yeah.
Now, Ellington returned to practice for Arizona. I know Scott's on the other side of this argument, but we said it earlier in the week, and I'm going to say it again. If you have six byes this week, you need a running back, you're in desperation, I'm okay starting Andre Ellington.
I mean, I got situations where I got to start Andre Ellington. I'm be honest with you. You cross your fingers, you know what I'm saying? You hope for the best. What you're looking for is check, baby, 1-2. Maybe he gets that work in the passing game. If he can catch five or six balls for 50-something yards and get you 10, 11 points in the PPR, consider it a victory.
I agree. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine. Scott, I know you expect nothing out of this dude.
I'm not saying zero for zero against you, nothing. But
he would play Eddie Lacy, though.
Why would I play Eddie Lacy? Let the barbs be accurate.
Would you play Eddie Lacy over Andre Ellington?
What?
Would
no.
You?
Okay. No, but I play Lamar Miller, who was preseason ranked 35 by some people. But
I'm sure we can go back to your rankings and find someone that's preseason.
Yeah, but you know, of course, you defend him when I take a shot at him, but yet he takes an Eddie Lacy shot at me. But I know how the double standard works here, though. You guys are BFFs, so. You know, to your question, I just think with Drew Stanton at quarterback and all the wide receivers healthy, I just don't see anything here for Andre Ellington. I'd rather play Devontae Booker.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I'm considering playing Devontae Booker over C.J. Anderson and Darren McFadden in one league.
Wait, how could you play... I'm sorry.
He's going to play the backup over the starter.
Yeah, how could you do
that? Please don't
make
me leave today, Scott. Don't frustrate me to the point where I have to get up and walk out the studio, Scott. Why in God's green earth would you do that, Scott?
Seriously.
Why would you play the backup over the starter on the same damn team?
Seriously.
Oh, Mike, I'm going to get so frustrated with this dude that I'm going to have to leave here today.
Really? You give me something to look forward to.
Scott, seriously. You're telling me...
It doesn't matter who starts, okay?
Sure.
I'll tell you why, and I'll break this down.
Please.
Okay? Because, and this is a guy that's been talking about Devontae Booker all along, and now he's turning dime on his boy.
He's not starting,
he's not
Scott.
Starting.
C.J. Anderson's on the play for the first play of the game.
He had triple the amount of carries.
Right? Here's the thing, right? Devontae Booker was the one who scored the touchdown
Absolutely.
Last week, right?
Yes, sir.
The Eagles are very good against pure running. They are very, very vulnerable to pass-receiving backs.
Sure.
And I think it could be a very interesting dark horse game for Devontae Booker. This might be the week that Devontae Booker makes Corey's prediction true, even though Corey's probably off Devontae Booker.
And I still own him everywhere.
And that may be right. You may be right that this is the...
It's something I'm considering.
You may be right that this is the game Devontae Booker breaks out, but I cannot tell people to start him over C.J. Anderson. We'll talk more about this and Emmanuel Sanders when we come back here on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
We're back here, and we're live on YouTube. Of course, just remember that, so he's adjusting himself.
Get myself together.
Yeah, now you're together. Oh. Turn your microphone on.
I didn't know. That didn't count.
Why not?
That didn't count.
Oh, it counts. It certainly counts. This is the fantasy executive who's very prepared this morning, Corey Parson. That's the King, Scott Engel. We're talking about Emmanuel Sanders' return to practice in just one moment. Before we hit our last radio break, Scotty made one hell of a statement, and he said that he is considering
Not
doing it necessarily, considering starting Devontae Booker this week over C.J. Anderson. Mind you, last week, Devontae Booker scored a touchdown for Denver. Had 6 carries for 40 yards and a touchdown against Kansas City. His counterpart, C.J. Anderson, had 15 carries for 78 yards. Scott, Devontae Booker had the third most amount of carries in this team. That is behind C.J. Anderson's 15, behind Jamal Charles's 8. You're willing to start a guy that had the third most amount of carries.
Keyword here is considering.
You're considering starting a player that had the third most amount of carries.
I did not hit, you know, bench, you know, on C.J. Anderson yet. You know, and I'll listen to other people who I respect, including Corey, who doesn't respect me back. But, you know, I
stop
do respect his opinion.
Stop with the crying.
Says the guy, oh, but we'll leave, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's something I'm considering. I'm also, in another league, I'm considering starting him over Nelson Aguilar, who, you know, faces Denver this week in very, very tough in the slot. So it's something I'm considering.
I think
you have to. The Eagles are very vulnerable to pass-receiving backs.
I think it's a bad idea because I don't know how many.
I start him over Andre Ellington for sure.
I don't know how many snaps he's going to play. I don't know how many. Let's just leave it at that. I don't know how many snaps.
This is your guy, Corey. You keep talking about how he's on the come and he's eventually going to overtake the job.
And
this could be the week.
If he overtakes the job this week, Scott, I'll play him in week 10.
But you have to look forward. You
got to
project, especially with 16 on a bye. Some the listeners may need to do this.
But you don't need to do it in your situation, Scott, because you have a starting running back.
I said considering, Corey, and I'll listen to your input.
My input is quite simple. He's not on the field enough to start right now.
Yes, it usually is simple, but I need deeper than that from you.
Why do you need deeper than that, Scott? He's not on the field. You can't score.
He wasn't on the field. He scored a touchdown last week. What are you talking about?
That was random, Scott. Come on,
it was not random.
Come on, Scott.
It was not random.
The dude is playing in like 30% of the snaps. The other guy.
So why are you backing the guy so much?
Because if C.J. Anderson gets hurt every year, if he gets hurt, you got an RB1. Come on, Scott.
But he's not playing well enough to keep the job.
This is ridiculous.
How many snaps do you? So I have a snap count from this past week in front of me. Okay, Jamal Charles played 13 offensive snaps. Between C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker, the number is 60. Between Booker and Anderson, how do you think that broke down?
42-18?
39-21.
35-25.
Okay, 10 more snaps.
10 more snaps.
C.J. Anderson on the come.
Had Devontae Booker.
Yeah.
I agree. He's on the way up. Corey's liked him all year. He's had him on his team all year. I don't think anybody is disagreeing with that fact.
Right.
But I can't, in my opinion,
right.
I can't start a dude on my team that had the third most amount of carries for his team this past week. And I know he had the touchdown, but and that player had a really good game, right? C.J. Anderson averaged over 4 yards
a pop. He didn't stink to join up for once.
He was good. He played well. I can't see C.J. Anderson all of a sudden heading to the bench after a game he played well in.
Right. Well, and again, you know what? You make good points. And Corey, although he probably frames it in a questionable sort of way, makes a lot of good points, too. So, you know, that's what I'm doing. You know, it's, you know, Corey's always throwing out to the table about his lineup and his waivers. You know, I'm kind of doing the same thing, too. I'm throwing it out there and saying, I'm considering it. What do you guys think? There are reasons. I don't think you can say you can't consider it all, just bam, rule it out, because, you know, you look at the matchup and you look at the evolution of the situation to which Corey's been pointing all year. I don't think it's just because of injury either. You know, Devontae Booker might just be the more talented back.
He needs the opportunity, though, Scott. He right. can't do nothing on the bench. He can't do nothing for your fantasy team.
He's not completely on the bench.
He can't do nothing for your fantasy team if the starter is out there getting that work.
Right, I'm listening to that, but what I'm saying is,
it's not
I'm
like
considering it.
Would you consider this a timeshare?
What's that?
Would you consider the Denver situation?
No,
it's not a timeshare.
What
time
I'm saying
share.
Is, you look at Devontae Booker, and you know he got an started to give him an opportunity last week because Jamal Charles putting the ball on the ground.
Ultimately,
and he's that best receiving back, I think.
There's no doubt about that, but he got to get on the field. Anderson got to get hurt. They got to put Anderson on the bench before you can start putting Sun in the lineup.
He scored 12 PPR points against the Giants in week 6 and almost 15 last week.
And what about the rest of the weeks?
What
about
it
the
hasn't
rest
been
weeks?
Good, but Corey, what I'm saying again here is I'm not saying I put active, you know, it's always okay for you to go out around the table every half hour and ask us what we think. I'm doing the same thing. I don't rail at you.
Most of the time I do it in the break, Scott. But that's you should.
You've done it on the air several times.
You know better than that statement right there, Scott. Start the backup run. That's like saying that you're going to start. Give me somebody, Greg. I'm about to lose it. Because he only thinks in black and white.
No shades of gray whatsoever. It's okay for you to go around the table, but not me. So get up, crybaby, and leave like you threatened to.
Let me tell you something. That's like Ezekiel Elliott busting an 80-yard run. You feel what I'm saying? Down to the 3-yard line. You feel what I mean? Alfred Morris come in, scored a touchdown. Next week, Scott go, I think about starting Alfred Morris. He scored a touchdown last week. Come on, Scott.
It's more than that. He catches passes, too.
Everything you're saying is correct, but you cannot start him this week.
Corey, we're in agreeance. You know, we're in agreeance, but I'm saying, you know, it's a consideration. It's something I thought through and I wanted to talk to on the air. It's okay for you, so it's definitely okay for me to do that.
No doubt it's okay for you to do that, but I had to scold you.
You don't have to scold me, okay? You don't have to scold me.
I had to scold you, Scott.
You scold me, that Yankee hat go flying off your head,
Scott,
and you'll have a black eye.
I don't want to have to scold you, Scott. You feel what I'm saying?
Because I already scolded you when it counts.
They gave me directions from on high.
They came from up above.
They was like, can you stop scolding Scott? And I was like, I don't know if I can come to work if
you
don't, I can do
you don't,
that.
You don't need no directions because I can take it. I'm not like the other people you came up with. I remember when Corey first worked with me, he was stunned. He was like, he's actually talking back. You know, I'm not like these private schoolboys that you grew up with. So I will bring it, Corey.
But ultimately, you're allowed, Scott, I do it every day, talk about your own team. I do it. Extreme amounts. Corey does it. We all do. I have no issue whatsoever talking about your own team and your own lineup positions. But when we're talking about, you know, they really started talking about Andre Ellington versus Devontae Booker, and you took it to the next level, saying, "Listen, I'm even considering starting Devontae Booker over C.J. Anderson." That's how confident I am. I'm in Devontae Booker this week. You said he catches passes. He only caught 2 more passes than C.J. Anderson this week.
But the Eagles allow, you know, a lot of yardage to receiving backs, and you know, the Broncos really need to change what they do. And when they watch this film, they're going to be like, well, who's our best catching back? You know, it would not shock me if this guy caught 5 passes for like 40, 50 yards and scored. And then I get what I need on a bye week because I have Melvin Gordon.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and I'll definitely start him over Andre Ellington, unquestionably.
Why is that?
Because Drew Stanton is a quarterback.
Brock Osweiler's a quarterback!
You know what? That's a good point, though. That's a good point.
Now, Greg got to scold you, too.
That's a good point. Well, he's a teacher, so.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you know, he's got to control the classroom.
Yes,
you know what? That's a good point. In my mind, I wasn't thinking, you know, I'm still thinking that Trevor Siemian's the quarterback, which is not good.
Right.
But I think that they need to get the ball to Devontae Booker because they think of the most talented back and the matchup pass receiving. You can do anything really against San Francisco.
Right.
So, I think with all the wide receivers healthy, I think Ellington becomes less of a factor. Plus, you got Adrian Peterson there carrying the ball. It might be a heavy game script for him. So I'm leaning Booker over Ellington. And I think Booker would probably get more opportunities to carry the ball than Ellington would, too.
I believe, I'm reading this correctly, Scotty, to be honest with you, nobody allows more points to running backs in general than San Francisco does.
Right, but I'm saying they allow most points to everything, too.
They do. Yeah. And they're terrible.
You don't have to do that. They allow the most points to the running backs, right, to the wide receivers.
Right, and because Drew Stanton's a quarterback, to me, I think they dump it off. I mean, check, 1-2, baby, right?
Yeah.
So that's
it's the 49ers, though. You can complete passes to the wide receivers against the 49ers if you're a backup quarterback.
Maybe not. But I'm going to take Andre Ellington when there's 2 people there, him and Adrian Peterson, where I understand Ellington's role is defined, rather than Devontae Booker, where there is 3 people there and his role remains undefined.
You might see a heavy Adrian Peterson game script this week.
I think you will.
Yeah.
I think
which
you will.
Take Ellington a lot out of the mix. And if Peterson has a game like he did in his first game as a Cardinal, they're not going to need Andre Ellington.
I don't think Peterson's got those games in him anymore.
He did it once, and he's playing the 49ers. This might be the last one he has in him.
I don't disagree with that. I still like Andre Ellington a hell of a lot better than I like Devontae Booker here in Week 8. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Emmanuel Sanders and his return and what we think of him going forward. It's the Roto Experts. We continue on right after this. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
I'm Albie Manzo from Manzo to the Children, and this is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
With you, the Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. About an hour from now, I'll be joined by Dr. A, Inside Injuries, talking about all the latest injuries around the National Football League. One of the players coming back from injury this week is Broncos wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders. He said he was given a six-week timetable. He's coming back in three. Sanders expected to play on Sunday as well as Brock Osweiler. Scott, I know you and I were on a little bit different page when it came to Emmanuel Sanders. Maybe I'm just very concerned when it comes to Brock Osweiler, but I'm willing to start a hell of a lot of wide receivers over Emmanuel Sanders. And you're saying it's a little tougher for you to put Manny Sanders on the bench.
I feel like if he plays, like Corey will often say, you know, if it's a quality player and he's out there, you have to start him. A big reason for the drop-off in that passing game is the loss for Emmanuel Sanders. Now, look, it's Brock Osweiler, but Osweiler has played before. Despite all the bad quarterback play, when he was in there, he was getting the ball. He's a wide receiver three, you know, went underdrafted in a lot of our opinions. The Broncos need to win this game. I think they'll play very, very competitively, but ultimately having Brock Osweiler be their undoing. You can attack the Eagles' corners. I think, especially in a week we have six teams on a bye, it's hard for me to bench Emmanuel Sanders.
I think it depends on your other options. You had said we had asked the question earlier, would you start Devin Funchess or Emmanuel Sanders? So, Corey, who would you rather start in a vacuum, Funchess or Sanders?
Devin Funchess. I put Devin Funchess out there as the number one target in the place he's familiar with.
Yeah, me too. I'm absolutely going with Devin
Funchess. I'm in agreement with that. But in my other league, I had another decision, which I'm contemplating. You know, Emmanuel Sanders or Cooper Kupp against the Giants?
I'm starting Cooper Kupp. I said that to you before. Rams coming off that bye week. I like Sammy Watkins this week. I like Cooper Kupp this week, too, across the middle. I think it's a very vulnerable spot for the Giants defense in that slot. I'm going with Kupp.
Yeah, I would go Kupp, too.
There you go.
Right now, I have Sanders in there. You guys make a lot of good points, but I just feel like Sanders is the better player. Right now, the Rams do have the better quarterback, but I can see Sammy Watkins busting out this week and maybe even Tyler Higbee being a thing because the Giants are so bad against the tight end. It's almost a wash, you know, to the point where, like, I put either player in, I'm more comfortable with it. Ultimately, though, I'm probably going to go with Kupp, but it's a very, very tough decision.
All right, so I have you said, Scotty, if you own Emmanuel Sanders, it's a very, very tough decision to be able to leave him on the bench. So here, I own Emmanuel Sanders in a league that I have a very poor record in. But I still like this team.
And that's the most important thing.
I think so.
Go down with the ship.
Would you start Emmanuel Sanders? I'll name all the wide receivers I have on this team. On this team that has a very poor record. Amari Cooper. Emmanuel Sanders or Amari Cooper?
Amari Cooper.
Okay. Emmanuel Sanders or Michael Thomas?
Michael Thomas.
Okay. Love the matchup. The floor there.
Emmanuel Sanders or Devontae Parker?
Devontae Parker.
I would go Parker. There's more upside, I think.
Okay. My starting tight end in this league is Cameron Brate. I have two flexes.
This team should be better than this.
See?
Yeah.
You're just getting outscored.
The Parker injury.
Parker injury. Cooper's been terrible.
Michael Thomas not been as good. You lost Dalvin Cook. I can see it, but it sounded like it had a chance on week one.
Yeah.
Like it looked good on draft day. It's like always on draft day. Oh, we love our team.
See, yeah. I, Yeah. I walked there like, this is the best team I've ever drafted. So my tight end is Cameron Brady. I have one more flex spot. I could use Emmanuel Sanders there, or I could use Evan Ingram.
I would go with Evan Ingram.
Same.
It's Corey Parson offense. The two tight end set.
As long as you don't run a three tight end set.
Who would you rather?
Going heavy.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but
and you got to have three real good tight ends.
Would you go with Evan Ingram or would you go with Emmanuel Sanders?
I'm gonna go with Ingram. It's like the only pass catcher really that the Giants have.
Sure, Sterling Shepard.
Sterling Shepard will be back.
But I agree.
But I think he's a number one target. You know, maybe Shepard gets eased back in, and it's probably tougher to attack over the middle than it is with the corners against Los Angeles.
So I agree. So there you go. I just named three wide receivers and a tight end.
Even if it's a bad record, though, it's a deep crew.
Yeah.
You're not in that situation, and not everybody across the board is in this situation where the buys are killing them.
All right, I got another wide receiver that I potentially would start over Emmanuel Sanders. Would you rather start Corey Davis or Emmanuel Sanders?
I'm gonna go with Emmanuel Sanders. Okay. You know how much I want to get Corey Davis in lineups this week, though. I think I got him in two so far, so I'm ready.
Okay,
that's why we brought you here, son.
That's why they brought you here, indeed. All right, there you go. That's kind of the deal with Emmanuel Sanders. Hey, so Jameson Crowder finally broke out this week, right? Jameson Crowder, we did it.
I would start Emmanuel Sanders over Jameson Crowder this week.
That actually wasn't the question.
Okay.
Because Jameson Crowder did not practice on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
He has a bit of a hamstring injury and didn't even dress for practice.
Yeah, that's not a good. Normally on Wednesdays, he's been limited. You know what I'm saying? But you want to see how he progresses throughout the course of the week, see if he can get out there. But normally, on most Wednesdays, he's limited. That game last week, as the All-In Kid pointed out, that's the Dallas Cowboys in the slot. The Cowboys get killed in the slot. I think Jameson Crowder will go right back to being the zero this week.
Okay. If he plays.
If he even plays.
If he plays. Jameson Crowder didn't practice on Wednesday. Jordan Reed, predictably, didn't practice on Wednesday.
I thought they said Jordan Reed was out already.
Jay Green said after the game it'll be tough for him to play. Okay. But I do want to give the update that he did not.
Translation will be out.
Yes, of course. No doubt about it, Scott. But I did want to be clear, though, that I think Jordan Reed is going to be out. He didn't practice yesterday. Chuck Pagano made a smart statement. It's rare.
Yes, it is.
But he did it.
That's not nice.
Why is it not nice, Scott?
If I said it, you would have said it's not nice.
We say it all the time about coaches being idiots. Like we talked about Hugh Jackson, a moron, every day on the show. Anyway, Chuck Pagano made a smart statement. We have to get the ball more to T.Y. Hilton. Oh,
hello.
Thanks, Chuck.
Oh,
this is what it's come to. We have to get the ball more to T.Y. Hilton. Thank you. Yes, you do. I agree. Is there any hope, Scott, this week for T.Y. Hilton?
I don't see it unless Andrew Luck makes a miracle recovery.
Yeah, he's not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can burn. I guess I'm being too an absolute.
You can
with
get
that,
bit, you can
because
you,
they are playing Houston, and Houston's secondary can be burned.
Absolutely.
Indianapolis is at home, right?
This game is in Houston. You know, T.Y. Hilton got those stock home road splits.
Yeah. With the information that Corey had said, it's a big gamble. It's boom or bust, hit or miss.
Ooh, Dante Foreman was dropped in one of my leagues.
Been picking him
up. Would you start Josh McCown or Kirk Cousins this week?
Oh, I would start Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins. I said that to you yesterday. I'm gonna stick with it.
Kirk Cousins is. I think Kirk Cousins is matchup proof.
Would you start T.Y. Hilton this week or Larry Fitzgerald?
Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald against the 49ers.
T.Y. Hilton or Devontae Adams?
Devontae Adams.
That's a tough call right there.
Hundley can rebound.
You've kind of been on that bandwagon. I want you back into it, Scotty. You've not been conducting the train, but like you've kind of been on the leader saying, listen, Brett Hundley isn't as bad as we saw in his first start. Like, we all kind of threw out when he came in for Aaron Rodgers. He didn't have a week of practice. He wasn't ready to go. They simplified the offense too much. Fine. He comes out a week later, and he was horrible against New Orleans. And you're like, listen, New Orleans has a really good defense. Given the bye week, they'll install plays for Brett Hundley. He is not this bad. You've been on that train. What have you seen?
I'm not saying absolutely.
Yep.
You know, I'm saying it's very possible that Brett Hundley was kind of thrown into the fire there and, you know, wasn't quite ready. And he could be better than this, but it's more about the supporting cast. When you have Jordy Nelson, when you have Davante Adams, when you have Randall Cobb, I think you have to have, you have to keep it out there that, you know, maybe this kid can improve from, you know, from what we saw in the first game out. He has some weaponry. He only really had a game and a half to get his timing down with these guys. What I'm saying is I don't think we can write this offense off as dead without Aaron Rodgers. Of course, it's not going to be anywhere close, but I'm saying, you know, I think we still have more to see before we completely judge that. I'm not starting Brett Hundley if I have another one of my key quarterbacks injured or on a bye, but, you know, I'm not benching Jordy Nelson yet. Of course, he's no longer wide receiver one to me, and I think you still have to consider starting Davante Adams. In one of my leagues, I have Jordy Nelson and Devontae Parker, and I'm still going with Jordy.
I'm, you know, I look at this. It's very hard for me. I own T.Y. Hilton. I own Larry. This is a personal question. I own T.Y. Hilton.
It's fine.
I own Davante Adams. I own Larry Fitzgerald. I can't figure this one out.
I would start T.Y.
You just said you wouldn't start T.Y. You literally just said Davante Adams and Larry Fitzgerald over T.Y.
Oh, you're talking about in that specific situation.
Yeah.
Okay. In that specific situation. I would go with those two guys over T.Y. I told you. I'm sorry. I got you mixed up.
No. I have these three dudes, and you, even though they're playing Houston, which is a billion points to Seattle this past week, it's hard.
It's a close call.
Yeah, but they got the 49ers. I don't think you can bench Fitzgerald. Even Stanton can maybe throw two touchdowns against them.
But so could Jacoby Brissett, couldn't he?
I think it's easier against the 49ers than it is against Houston.
Technically, Scotty, I think, if I'm seeing this correctly, that Houston does allow more points to wide receivers in Arizona than San Francisco does, I think.
I just think if you look at the personnel, they're a better defense.
San Fran is 31 points per game to wide receivers Cruz in a PPR. Houston is... No, that's not right. Houston is 35, so Houston is worse.
Houston's worse. That's what
they're comparable, but I think Houston is better up front, and we'll get more of a rush. So I think there's more talent okay. there.
It's obviously a very tough decision here between these two guys. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, one more note about Brett Hundley and the Packers, and then we'll do a whole lot more. So Roto Experts, it's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
So the last note when it comes to the Packers, and Brett Hundley, before Brian Hoyer re-signed with New England, which happened yesterday, 3-year deal to be Brady's backup the next couple of years until they draft somebody else, the Packers tried to go sign Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
Packers went out to go try sign Brian Hoyer, which is interesting because Mike McCarthy, immediately after the game, where Aaron lost to Aaron Rodgers, he was like, listen, Brett Hundley and Joe Callahan are our guys. Because he was asked a lot, obviously, about Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm. He got mad when he was getting asked about Colin Kaepernick.
He did. Brian Hoyer...
He should have said, listen, don't ask me about Colin Kaepernick. The owner don't want me to sign him.
Packers don't have an owner.
That's right. The public own the Packers. Yeah, you're right.
The public don't want me to sign him.
I thought the public was with it.
Maybe not in Green Bay.
No, I thought they were at one point. I thought they were. You got to remember that in 2013, that playoff game, the way Colin Kaepernick tore their ass up. I would have won them, too.
that's a good point. But now, anyway, so ultimately, the Packers did go try to sign Brian Hoyer to be their quarterback until Aaron Rodgers potentially comes back, if he does come back at all. So I thought that was very interesting. Before Brian Hoyer, he turned down a potential chance to start in Green Bay to go back up Tom Brady, which I guess makes sense. You know, you begging all this money, why do you want to go get beat up?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Cool. So, Dave, I think, you know,
it's cold in Green Bay.
Yeah. It is.
Probably just wants to go live in Boston. I understand that. All right, so that's kind of the latest from all of the news around the NFL. I did wanted to get into a little either or this morning with you guys. I have a bunch of players that we kind of compiled over the last couple of days. We talked about them a bunch, so I thought it'd be a good conversation. I want to start with somebody you've mentioned to me multiple times this morning, Scotty, and that's Joe Mixon. You've pretty much been offering him in trades throughout the morning, and what is your outlook on him going forward?
He's going to be their lead back, and he can catch some passes. I'm just not seeing the upside. I think some of that is on the offensive line as well. But he's clearly the lead guy. I think he's a viable flex play who can give you probably like 7 to 13 points a week in a PPR.
What about you, Corey? What's your outlook on Mixon right now?
I don't think this is the year for Mixon. I think his situation gets better next season as they improve on that offensive line. As Mixon gets more comfortable, you know what I'm saying, in his games, Le'Veon Bell stop taking shots at him. You feel what I mean? Yeah. And you look at the schedule. I mean, you look at the schedule going forward. You get the Denver Broncos on the schedule. That tough run defense that Cleveland has. Pittsburgh's on the schedule. The Vikings on the schedule. It's tough sledding for this young man.
Yeah, I think ultimately I'm with you. It's not the year for Joe Mixon. There's too much going on. The schedule, like you said, doesn't line up. The offensive line is putrid. I'll take an L on Joe Mixon. I think a lot of people in the industry take an L on Joe Mixon.
It's cool.
And it's fine. But what I'm sick of hearing is, this is the week for Joe Mixon.
No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
So sick
that's like
of
sound
that.
Like Todd Gurley last year.
Yeah. So I don't want to hear that anymore. No. Joe Mixon is going to win you a lead.
Listen,
if you have to start
Joe Mixon, cross your fingers.
Yeah, I
look,
agree.
It's not as bad as Gurley, cuz Gurley was the kind of guy where you couldn't even put in your lineup. Mixon will give you like I said, 7 to a dozen points a week, and you know, sometimes if there's upside because of his talent, you just never know. I'm not going to say there's going to be the breakthrough week for him, but, you know, he's not a must bench like Gurley was last year.
So
people were still starting Gurley last year.
I know, but that was a mistake. I don't think it's going to be a complete mistake to start Joe Mixon in your flex.
All right, here we go. The first either or I have for you, Joe Mixon or the one you asked a moment ago, Scotty, Joe Mixon or Lamar Miller?
The rest of the way,
I think, sir.
Miller, you know, you look at Miller's game log, and he's been scoring double-figure fantasy points just about every week. The yardage, it hasn't been above, like, 80 rushing yards, I don't think, all year, but he's getting touchdowns, he's catching a few passes here and there. I'd rather have Lamar Miller.
I agree with Scott.
Okay.
He doesn't have to say the name.
Yeah, he agrees with Scott.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? It's kind of exemplary of what we, you know, it's just like I'm doing my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com. I'll be up this afternoon. And Alex Smith is my number 4 quarterback for this week. You know, who would have thought that before this season?
Sure. Joe Mixon or Adrian Peterson?
I'm going to go Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon.
Peterson, one big game, complete dud. Could have another big game this week, and then it's downhill from there. I don't think you could get like 2-3 points from Adrian Peterson in a week. I don't think that happens with Mixon because there's going to be some volume, and there is upside in his talent.
You said, and Corey said Joe Mixon as well under his breath.
I don't fool with old running backs.
All right, here we go. Let's go.
Sorry,
sorry, Frank.
How about young running backs? Joe Mixon or Marlon Mack?
This is interesting right here. I don't know if Mac is getting enough work. I think I'd rather take the shot on the upside of Mac than I would fool with Mixon right now.
That's pretty bold.
Yeah, that is, because I don't own Mac nowhere.
Look, at some point, I might look wrong on this because, you know, Mac could end up with the opportunity and may do more with it than Mixon.
Yep.
But right now, you know, Frank Gore's still there. They didn't trade him. So I don't see him coming out of the mix. Mixon's got more opportunities, so I'm going Mixon.
I agree with this guy. I'd go with Joe Mixon there as well.
But you would take Booker over CeeDee Anderson this week.
Well, I have to do that because it's your fault. You know what I'm saying?
Joe Mixon.
Because I have
Anderson.
Ezekiel Elliott, and your boy can't stay out of trouble or stay straight. So if it wasn't for your Cowboys, I wouldn't be in this predicament.
He didn't do anything. Go ahead.
I blame you.
Joe Mixon or CJ Anderson?
Joe Mixon. CJ Anderson is pedestrian.
Oh, really? Oh, how about that?
But he's playing.
But I'll take Joe Mixon.
Corey, who would you rather start this week, Joe Mixon or CJ Anderson?
This week? Who this would I rather week. Start this week, Mixon or Anderson? Well, I'm not fully up to speed on the matchup.
CJ Anderson plays Jacksonville. The Eagles.
No. Yeah.
CJ Anderson plays the Eagles this week. Yeah. I got that right.
Mm-hmm. How you not know the matchups? You've been doing all your lineups.
I don't have a lot of CJ Anderson. I would go with CJ Anderson.
So you go with CJ Anderson. What about you, Scott? Joe Mixon or CJ Anderson this week?
I go with Mixon. More versatility.
Okay, so there you go. Interestingly enough, Joe Mixon or Amir Abdullah.
No, I can't mess with Amir Abdullah. No, it's just like he is like one of the most unproductive. He may be the most unproductive starting running back in the NFL with volume.
He got off to a good start this season, but then he kind of morphed back into Amir Abdullah. I would go Joe Mixon in that case.
I'm going to be in a state of shock when I'm watching the Red Zone Channel and they say touchdown Amir Abdullah.
Joe Mixon or Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones.
Okay, that was an easy one. Joe Mixon or Deion Lewis?
I got to go Mixon. Deion you Lewis never on know. Bye. No, he's talking rest of the season.
Rest of the season. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, I'm going to go with Mixon. You never know in that New England backfield. Could be Burkhead one week, Lewis the next.
I got to agree with Scott on that.
I agree with that as well. But what if I said it was James White instead of Deion Lewis?
James White work is there
secure.
Every
yeah,
week.
I would take James secure. White over Mixon.
I would take Jimmy.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon or Jay Ajayi?
Jay Lord. Ajayi. Easily.
I said Lauren.
Lauren Ajayi.
Joe Mixon, Jay Ajayi.
It's easy for me. Ajayi's becoming the feature back. He'll score more touchdowns. You know, that's my prediction.
It's so
this
interesting.
Is a tough
you,
one right
you
here.
You said that. You can think about it. You said that so definitively that JJ is becoming the featured
Both
back.
Both those guys are probably going to get a similar workload, and I think Jadai is just a better running back right now.
I agree that JJ is a better running back, but I have no idea what his role is in Philadelphia either.
I'm projecting what his role is. It's not going to be the same offense in Philadelphia was up until now. That's why they made the trade.
I don't agree with you.
It's tough to say that. I still would go with Jai, but it's tough to say that they're just going to take this thing away from Carson Palmer.
I didn't say they were going to take this thing away from Carson Wentz. What I'm saying is they're going to be more offensive balance. They're not going to hand him the ball 24 times a game, but Jai Ajayi is going to be a significant part of that offense. They want to have more balance as they hit the toughest part of their schedule and look ahead to the playoffs. Take pressure off the young quarterback.
I get
He's
logic.
Handling the pressure very well now. Sitting
I'm
at
saying though,
no,
but you look, I give them credit, but they played the third easiest schedule with the toughest part of their schedule coming up in the playoffs. They need to establish more offensive balance.
But you say they need to do this. They're 7-1 doing it their way.
Right, I give them credit for that.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is, you've gotten to this point, okay, where you're 7-1. You give them all the credit, and they've done it right.
Yep.
They've beaten who they're supposed to beat.
Yep.
But now you're thinking with what the cliche goes, bigger fish to fry,
sure.
And you need to strike more of an offensive balance.
Do you?
Yes.
Why?
Because
they're not. They're going to be one and done anyway. But they would definitely be one and done if they were playing the way they play now.
That's amusing to say. I get where you're coming from, but in the playoffs and to beat the best teams in the best atmosphere, that's a young quarterback. You still want to take pressure off of him. He does not play a single playoff game to go deep into the playoffs. You need a strong running game.
I love this narrative. When you can't win the playoffs, you don't ever play a single playoff game.
You want to take the pressure off of him, though.
You got to be able to. I mean, look at Green Bay last year. You know what I'm saying? The way they went into Atlanta and got dragged. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
They had no balance on offense.
I'm not saying Carson Wentz can't give a playoff game, but they're trying to give him a better environment, a better situation. If you have Jay Ajayi taking pressure off of him, it's better for him.
Scotty, I get it. You're getting a better running back than you have.
I'm not saying he can't win a playoff game. It gives him a better shot.
Okay. You are 100% right in that. Like, 1,000,000% right. Like, getting JJ is better than what you have. And it will only help this team in the future. But, and I said this yesterday, I can't project him all of a sudden getting this major. Right now, I don't know how to project his role in the offense.
I didn't say major either. I'm saying there's going to be something of a shift in balance.
Okay.
And it'll be moderate, not major.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
So you with the Ajayi. Did you ever answer Ajayi versus Mixon?
Ajayi.
All right. We're going to come back. We'll take a break. We'll wrap up this hour and bring in hour number 3. Coming up next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's me, Joe Pizzapia, best-selling author of the Fantasy Black Book series, and right now, you can get the 2017 Fantasy Football Black Book on Amazon as we speak. What are you waiting for? You can get it for ebook, for your Kindle, or for paperback, and it's not just me this year. No, I brought in some friends. I got Jake Seeley, I got Sammy Reed, I got Gary Davenport. I got championships, and they're waiting for you. Find out why the Fantasy Black Book is number one best-selling in fantasy sports for the 10th straight time. You know why? Because once you go Black Book, you never go back.
For that. We're back here. Fantasy Sports Radio Network hanging out with you. Little conversation during the break about J.J. here, Corey.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, that's a funny tweet by Mike Leone who just tweeted at me. Yeah. All right. So we were talking here about Joe Mixon, and the conversation kind of turned to J.J. A little bit. I have one more just for you, Corey, when it comes to Joe Mixon. I don't want to ask Scott because I know his answer.
Oh, boy.
Joe Mixon or Doug Martin?
Doug Martin.
Oh, Doug Martin, that made Scotty happy. That made the king happy right there. Joe Mixon or our last one as we transition to a new player, Alex Collins.
Joe Mixon. I'm just not buying the Collins thing yet. The Orioles. They might as well be the Orioles. You know what I'm saying? You might get more production if you put some of the Orioles out there.
This is the narrative this morning, Corey. I mean, Josh Gordon hasn't played baseball since 2014, so we got baseball on the mind. But I'll take Mixon. I like Collins, but I feel like Mixon's more versatile and has better shots to get in the end zone because Alex Collins not a goal line runner.
I think he's not a goal line runner, yes, but. Remember, last time they were on the goal line, Buck Allen fumbled the ball.
No, he has zero touchdowns this year.
I understand that, but last time they were on the goal line, Buck Allen had the ball and he fumbled it.
Right, but
so this week,
I just don't think Alex Collins is a good short space runner.
We're gonna find out. I think they're gonna give him a shot. I think they're gonna give Alex Collins a shot, and that's why I like Alex Collins more than I like both Kenny and Drake and Damian Williams here. I thought Alex Collins is going to have every opportunity to be the guy in Baltimore.
You know why Mixon will end up with more touchdowns? Better offense overall that'll probably be near the goal line stripe more often.
I guess. But their offensive
line is terrible. You guess? You're talking about Joe Flacco. You know, and this offense, that's a horrible, horrible offense. You still have, you know, A.J. Green on that offense, et cetera. You got a few playmakers there. That team's going to have more red zone opportunities than the Ravens.
Alex Collins or Marshawn Lynch?
Alex Collins. Marshawn Lynch is a novelty act. Marshawn Lynch don't care about the Oakland Raiders.
Alex Collins or C.J. Anderson?
I don't like this Alex Collins conversation.
I'm going to go Alex Collins because I think Anderson's going to lose the job like Corey predicted.
I'm going to go Alex Collins also.
Interesting. Alex Collins or Frank Gore?
Alex Collins. Frank Gore just, you know, part of a timeshare there where you just doesn't.
So is
you
don't, Alex you Collins.
Don't, no, he's the lead back now.
But you just told me he doesn't score touchdowns.
I'm saying, but you know, Frank Gore is a guy who's not a lead running back.
Yes, he
who
is.
Might eventually it's a timeshare there. He might eventually cede the job to Marlon Mack. I think Alex Collins is going to keep the job and get more carries than Frank Gore.
But you just told me he's not going to score touchdowns.
How often Frank Gore is not going to score? Frank Gore might be touchdown or bust. You can get 110 yards or 70 yards from Alex Collins, 70, 110 yards in a week. Whereas Frank Gore, it's like if he doesn't score a touchdown, how frequently is that going to come? It's just like he's not even useful rostering in a lot of cases.
All right, you want a snap count of Frank Gore? Is that you're looking for here?
How many percentage of the snaps is the lead dog Alex Collins in?
Oh, you wanted Baltimore snap count. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was looking up.
I can pull it up. I'm pulling it up myself.
Oh, I got it now as well. It's the page is just loading now. All right, here we go. This week, Alex Collins split carries evenly or snaps evenly with Buck Allen, 32-31.
Yeah.
He's the lead runner. Allen is the pass catching back.
But that's still a split. Frank Gore.
Who had more carries?
Are they in the backfield together like old school football?
I didn't see that.
Is one of them a fullback?
I didn't see that. But Alex Collins is going to get more carries than Buck Allen is. Whereas like it's going to be more of a split carry between the Colts running backs.
Well, that's
what I'm predicting.
Maybe so. I think this one's really close, Scotty.
I can't start Frank Gore with any confidence.
Buck Allen has 17 carries last week.
How many does Collins have?
Alex Collins had, on the day,
18.
18. That is a split even. That's more than Mark had.
Ultimately, okay, you guys make good points. Ultimately, I think Alex Collins definitely has more upside than Frank Gore.
But you just told me he doesn't score touchdowns.
Yeah, but Frank Gore is not going to get you much yardage. He's not going to get the yardage that Alex Collins will.
He had 80 yards last week.
Yeah, on 18 carries. That's what I'm saying. He's more talented running back right now.
I don't like going against this one, but I'm going to go with the younger player in Collins. I want to see this Collins that everybody's talking about, though. I haven't seen it yet.
We'll take a break. When we come back, hour number 3 begins. We'll talk to Dr. Ray, a lot more either or, and all the headlines, including the return of Josh Gordon. We do it next on the Roto Experts.